D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Broadcasting from Sunny Shore City, you're listening to the Underground Radio, bringing you all of the very best Pokemon news and views this side of Twist Mountain. I'm Josh.
And I'm Sam. For today's broadcast, we'll be checking up on our weeks in Pokemon, covering the latest Pokemon news, dancing a double team duet with Sylveon, and spotlighting the newest evolution. So sit back, relax, and give your Radio Rotom what it wants. Alright, so, it is another beautiful Sunday morning. It actually is rather beautiful outside. The last couple of days up here in North Dakota have been kind of not so awesome, but sun is out. Hopefully that means that some rays of warmth will be burning through the coldness that is here, but yeah.
Yeah, I won't even talk to you about the weather here. You will hate me, and we will not be friends, and I will be sad.
Well, don't worry. Somebody already spoiled that for me, because I was talking to a guy who had apparently been on vacation. He was just like, yeah, in Arizona, it was warmer than a usual winter, and it was 70 degrees out. And I was just like, just get in that room right now.
Just shut it,
just
jerk.
Go. But, yeah, Pokemon, though, has been no less exciting for the last week or two here, really, I guess. But, yeah, how have you been doing for Pokemon?
Oh, doing good. I've been breeding still, because that's what I do. Like, it's kind of sad. I only breed now. I never fight anybody. I just have a ton of Pokemon that never get used. And I feel very, very bad for them. But, yeah, I've been breeding this last week. I want to get a shiny Charmander. So, well, another shiny Charmander.
Yeah.
The one that will work is a Charizard Y, because the X is just not pretty enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working on that, and I just realized that it's in a normal Pokeball, and I wanted it in a Premier Ball, so I might have to start that whole deal over again.
Oh.
So... yeah, I'll probably continue doing that for a while. And aside from that, I started a Wonderlock.
Very cool.
And yeah, I'm loving it. It's been really interesting. I lost my Protean Frogadier to a stupid critical hit.
Oh no.
But yeah, aside from that, I traded for probably some of the best Pokemon I could have ever asked for. Because I'm going with a couple of the like challenge rules where... I'm only using each Pokemon Center one time.
Oh, yep.
But I have a Blissey on my team with Softboiled.
That would certainly be a game changer.
Yeah, it helps a lot. And it's making that much more possible. I mean, there have been times where I've been running out of PP.
Oh.
But usually, HP-wise, I've been sitting pretty.
Good deal.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it since we've last talked. What have you been up to, Sam?
Well, other than feeling sorry for the lack of ideal Pokeball for that Pokemon, I mean, that, you know, people, I know a lot of people up here have just been like, oh, well, you can breed Pokeballs now. It's okay. But man, it's really awesome to be able to do that. It really is. But
yeah.
I've just bought a pass for Pokemon Bank again. So now I've got 370 days of Pokemon Bank to use. So, and you know, that $4.99 essentially is the best investment ever.
Yeah.
It really is.
I agree with that.
There is absolutely no downside to that whole process. There is none. So, and it still frustrates me a little that people are still mentioning things like, oh, I can't afford that. And yes, you can most certainly afford it. You can cut one piece of anything out of your life for 1 week, and you will have more than enough to be able to afford that.
Yeah, you could not buy one TCG pack, and you basically bought bank.
For a year.
Yeah.
It's not even like it's for a month. If they really wanted to, they could have charged, you know, $5, you know, every 3 months, or, you know, something along those lines. They could have charged for it, and it would have been much, you know, it would have been maybe something to think about, but this is nothing to think about.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, that's the thing, and I also played around on Pokemon Showdown with Josh and Kent and Scott and Richard last night, and it was really cool.
It was a blast.
It was, and Showdown looks so beautiful right now, and it is such a fantastic program for battling. It really is. There are still a couple little things here and there that kind of made me weird out for a little second, for a little while. Josh had to explain, you know, oh no, you can still keep doing that. It just, you know, things are okay, Sam. But no, it's a fantastic program, and I am really looking forward to using it more often to prepare for regionals so that I'm not kind of just flying around in the dark. So,
use Flash.
Using Flash is good, though if you believe what those Helix Fossil people say, then you don't need Flash to get through a dark place. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've also been preparing for the trip to Monona Terrace, which is where they are going to be holding regionals this year in Madison, Wisconsin. And I am really excited about this. I've got all of the base cost money for the trip, basically the $140 that I know that I'm going to need specifically for gas and for lodging and for entry fees this year. And I've got all that settled and stashed away now. I've got Pokemon literally watching that money. So, I don't know if that sounds ridiculous, but I think it's awesome.
I like it.
Dragon-type Pokemon watching that money, too. So,
Well, you better watch out for those fairy trainers. They will have all of your money.
Maybe. I don't know. My Goodra might have words for them. But, no, I've got that going on perfectly there. I've also got some recipes that I prepared and that I might be bringing with me. One of the people at work, when we had our potluck about a month and a half ago, had a recipe for it was like a Frank's Red Hot, like, buffalo chicken, like, salsa dip sort of thing. And it had, like, it was chicken and cream cheese and the red hot sauce and ranch, and it was all made in like a little like heater crock pot thing, and you just used chips to dip into that and eat it that way, and it was really, really good.
Sam, I make that exact same dip.
You do?
And I call it crack dip because I cannot stop eating it.
It's true. It really is. And I do happen to have a crock pot here, and I was thinking that for the trip, last year, the three of us brought, like, chips and, you know, cold meat for sandwiches and bread and things like that. I was thinking it would be really cool to make some of that and put it in the thing and just stick it in the back end of the car, and then when we got to the hotel, just plug it in and let it warm up while we were off doing our pre-registration stuff, and then come back to the hotel and eat it afterwards.
Yes, you should do that. And just so you know, it's also really good with bread. Like any kind of, like, what's the long, hard-crusted...
Oh, French bread?
Yeah, some kind of French bread. Baguette. There we go.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Very, very good with that as well.
Very good. All right.
I like how we're talking about food.
You know, it's Pokemon-related food, though.
There you go.
It's like episode where we did the party one, or the food one, where mm-hmm. we just talked all about Pokemon party foods.
Yes, this can be Charmander dip.
Yes, that's what we'll call it. Well, I don't know. I think it should at least be upgraded rather to Charmeleon dip. Maybe even Charizard dip.
Well, depending on how much everybody likes it there, yes. It can evolve.
Yes, so... I'll definitely have to bring that. I think a lot of the people who will be going will really appreciate that. So
yes.
I like this idea already. But yeah, and I've already got my deck that I want to bring picked out. It was kind of a decision between four decks, and I think I have hammered out which one that I want to bring. Surprisingly enough, my round deck was in the running for it.
Really?
But I decided I wasn't going to bring the round deck.
So you're bringing Cincino, or Cinchino.
You don't know how tempted I was to bring that one, because I knew of only a few little changes that I really had to make before I could make that deck just the most obnoxious thing to ever come about in a regionals tournament. And I would have done it. I really would have. But I decided not to. And I opted instead for probably my most tried and true deck here. And I'll be running with that. And a lot of changes have been made to it since X and Y came out. And I think it's been made that much better because of it. And I know metal types really didn't get anything in X and Y for Pokemon, well, except for Skarmory EX, but there have been a lot of nice support and item cards that have come out.
Yeah.
So, that's... I don't know. The base set of X and Y came out with some good Pokemon, but I think that the trainers and the supporters were really the meat of that whole set. Because Professor's Letter, just the supporters, Shauna, you've got Evo Soda, which really made the Gorgeist deck. You've got all these really cool things going on, and I really appreciate all of them, so...
Yeah.
So yeah, Monona Terrace, April 11th through the 13th, and that is going to be exciting.
I wish I could be there.
I wish you could be there too. But you will also have state tournaments to deal with too, where you will be like an administrator running the show, which is something that I wish that I could also do, because being able to help administrate even something that would be going on in Minnesota would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it.
Maybe I should start talking to people in leagues in Minnesota, just so that I can expand my horizons here for organized play a bit.
I think that's a good plan.
That is a good plan. But yeah, that's all I have for Pokemon Chatter. So unless you have anything else that you'd like to talk about, Josh?
Nothing to add.
All right, then I do believe that we will be moving on to news. ¶¶ And it is time to come around to the news desk again, and we have a couple of Underground announcements here. I wrote one of them down, but I did not write down the other. The first of which we have here is that for our Double Team segment, since today is officially our Double Team voting on Sylveon, we will be taking more suggestions for the next Pokemon that we'll be spotlighting. So we'll take the top three, or the first three, rather, that get submitted to us, either through the Facebook account, the Twitter account, or through D20 Radio Network, email, just one of the ways that you can get in touch with us, and we'll be checking the timestamps on those two to see who actually got in first. Kent. So we'll be checking that out. And then, of course, the same thing that we've always done before. The top three will then get voted on the week after that, and the ones that have the most votes will be featured in one of our Double Team segments that we have. So.
Yay, Double Teams.
Double Team is really cool. It really is.
I love them.
Uh-huh. And the other Underground announcement that we have is that in, I guess, at time of recording here, which is March 2nd, it will be officially 8 days until the second year anniversary of the Underground Radio, which has seen, how many episodes did we say it had? 27 this last year?
29.
29. We've had 29 episodes this last year, and because of that, we will also be recording an episode that will be just, we're looking to make it as amazing an episode as we possibly can. The anniversaries only ever come around once a year, and we really enjoyed the last year's anniversary episode where we had a lot of listener submissions. We had a lot of people writing into us, letting us know about the show, what they wanted to hear next time around. We didn't quite get to the same level of content that we did the first year, where we had 40 episodes, but we really are trying to make, to turn it around for year number three, which is really weird to think about. That will be on the third year of the podcast already.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. And it's, you know, it seems, it really only feels like it's been a year that we've been recording, so, and it, yet we're on the third one. So I don't know if that's a good thing or if it's a bad thing. I'm gonna chalk it up to a good thing, because it feels like time is not flying by.
There you go.
So, there you go. Maybe that'll have to be the title of the second anniversary episode.
I like it.
I kind of like that too. So yeah, second year anniversary episode, if you guys want to send us in anything, and I mean anything at all, whether it be a text-based story, a team that you want us to talk about, I already have one from Scott that I'll be most likely featuring on that episode, and we also would love to hear any audio recordings that you make for us. We will most definitely put them in there. We really want to hear those because bumpers are cool. So, yes, second year anniversary episode in 8 days, I guess 7 days when I finally finish editing this thing. And yeah, we really hope to hear back from you guys. And now that we'll be going into overworld news, we've had a couple things here. Some of them, though, are really, really exciting.
Yes.
And I think what would be the most exciting of all of them, first off, and I know I'm going out of order on our list here, is that Netflix is getting seasons 1 and 14 of the Pokemon anime, and is also getting Victini and Zekrom and the Victini and Reshiram movies.
Yeah, I put them all on my list last night.
It makes me so sad that I don't have Netflix.
I will give you my Netflix information, you can use mine.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. You can absolutely do that. Because you can make accounts on Netflix, so you can just make your own account and put on whatever you want. So I'll give you my info, not while we're recording the show, though.
Okay.
I don't want everybody to access my stuff.
Yes, but you do not know how happy that makes me on this one.
I'm here to serve.
I think that is its own victory road in news right there. So we also have a quick little announcement here about Gen 4 and Gen 5 games. The online services for each of those for both the Gen 4 and Gen 5, or even really the just Nintendo DS family of games, and the Wii games will be terminating on May 20th of 2014. Nintendo said that they're going to be shutting down servers for that, so that they assumingly have enough room for all of the awesome that will be the next-gen consoles.
3DS is the way to go, people.
3DS is the way to go. And I know that the demand for those older games is still in high... but... You know, Gen 6 is an amazing system to play, and, you know, if you're ever going to battle anybody, you want to battle in Gen 6. You do. You really, really do. And also, ha to everybody who uses Pokesav and Pokegen in Gen 4 and 5. Just ha! Sorry, I have a problem with people who use those programs, and, well, no, I'm not sorry. So, and I know some listeners also use those programs. We've had some people make mention of it to me in the past, and, you know, if you want to use them, great, but I am not sad to see those go. So, I will most likely be celebrating it by a bonfire.
Well, we need to stay up till midnight, and yes, have a bonfire, raise some glasses.
Yes. Glasses of the finest sparkling juice stuff that they sell at Horn
Players. I was thinking we'd have some berry juice. I got
berry
a
juice.
Couple shuckle. We can make some berry juice.
Yeah. I like that. All right. But, Josh, you know more about this supposed distribution event than I do. So you should take this one away from me here.
Okay. Well, for those of you who haven't heard yet, AZ's Floette has been revealed as a Pokemon in the game, and it's amazing. Like, its stat distribution is beautiful. It's 1 point lower than Florges, so I think Florges is like 552 and it's 551, if I'm remembering correctly. I don't know if I am. I'm not going to look it up, but it's something like that. It looks amazing. It has a special move that's like base 140, 150 damage and does recoil to itself. And it just, it's cool. But it's going to be distributed someday.
Okay.
And somehow. we don't know dates and we don't know method of distribution, but supposedly it is going to be a distribution event down the road. And I cannot wait for it, because of the three, the Flabébé, Floette, and Florges, Floette is definitely my favorite design. And this Floette having the different flower that just looks menacing,
yeah,
just makes me happy.
Very
so,
cool.
I'm very excited for it. And that is all.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. I wouldn't mind being able to acquire one. I mean, it's probably maybe not going to be something that I'm going to use in competition, but it's along the same lines as acquiring all of N's Pokemon in Black 2 and White 2. I mean, it's N's Pokemon. And it just like it's AZ's just Floette.
Yeah.
So, there you go. The X and Y Adventures manga is also releasing now in Japan, which is pretty cool.
That's good.
I'm going to start petitioning the library that I work at to start getting more of the Pokemon Adventures manga in. From the collection that I've seen there in their section, they've got a pretty solid collection of the original Adventures and then the Adventures featuring Yellow. But they've got a little trouble filling the holes in their collections of the Heart Gold, Soul, like the Gold and Silver arc, and pretty much everything later than that. They did a really good job with Black and White, though. I mean, they've got, I think, everything up through volume 12 or 13, and they've got like multiple copies of each. So, I was pretty pleased about that. But yeah, I'm gonna try petitioning them to get more Adventures manga in there, and maybe I can also ask them to start getting the X and Y stuff in as well, because Pokemon, it needs to be a bigger thing. I want to get like an entire like bay of a shelf filled with Pokemon stuff.
All of the Pokemon everywhere.
I think I might be a little crazy. They already think I'm a little crazy for being Pokemon, just ecstatic about it, but they don't know the true depths yet.
Yeah.
And I think also just something for us both to talk about. It's just a couple of things that are related to the PGL. The first of which is that discount coupon that was being a promotion on the Pokemon Global Link is scheduled to end on Monday, which would be March 3rd, and probably the day of this recording. So I'll be sure to post something on the Facebook group too. Just if you haven't picked it up, pick it up. Or if you've been like me with Pokemon X and you already spent all the money ever trying to get those stupid clothes, then ignore this. Unless, of course, you want the discount coupon.
It's nice to have in your inventory.
Yeah. So, discount coupon is the thing, and there was also an update that they made to the Pokemon Global Link. And this was a brand new feature of theirs. And on the listing they have on Serebii.net, it says that for the ratings battles, rating battles, that's a better way. The rating battles that you have in your game, it ranks the top 12 Pokemon that you've used in each sort of battles that you have. And apparently, when you click on the Pokemon, you can see like stats based on the moves and natures and abilities and items that were used by other players, and what percentages people chose for it. And it's almost like a little Smogon kind of thing going on there, where you can kind of see what the majority of people are doing with like a Garchomp or with a Rotom, and you can also see not only just how popular a certain thing is, but what percentage of these things also resulted in a win. And it's almost like they're offering a little thing to help the rating battle players build better teams. So,
I like it.
I do like it a lot. The only thing that I probably don't much care about is just the typical human propensity to just use what is the most popular. But, I mean, seeing what is popular might also inspire some people to get new and creative with their teams. I mean, and creativity and unexpected things wins your whole day.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, it is a really cool PGL update. I have yet to fully experience it, but I really like what I'm seeing so far with it.
Yeah, I actually just logged in for I'm trying to log in, and it's not letting me log in. What the heck? I don't know what's going on. I hadn't looked at it, so I'm trying to look at it for the first time.
Sure.
But I like the look of it so far.
Absolutely. Oh, I suppose I totally forgot to talk about it in Pokemon Chatter, but I guess we'll talk about it here. I also, in news, we had our other tournament go on here, our league challenge in the Fargo-Moorhead area, even though all of them take place in Fargo. But anyway, we had the league challenge that was run by Ben, and it was, I think, the first league challenge that we've had ever since we had all of the technical crashes and things of that nature. So it was interesting. Everything worked out just fine, though. Everything played out just fine. I ended up taking second in that tournament.
Good work.
Thank you. And a couple of other people who have been regular guests on the show also participated in there, too. Darren took fourth, and that was even with a deck that he wasn't planning on using. His cards that he wanted for the deck that he was wanting to use came literally on Monday.
Oh, jeez.
So that was a little disappointing, but he still took fourth. Mitch also participated in the tournament. I forget which place that he took. And there were a couple other people who placed higher as well. The league owner of the Grand Forks League, Tanner Menzel, he took first. He was running what are those decks called? Yeti deck. He was running a Yeti deck. And, wow, who took third? I can't remember.
Mike. I don't know if there was a Mike there.
Well, there is a Mike now, and
woo-hoo!
Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a fantastic time. Everybody really appreciated how things went, and, and David was our judge, which was also really cool. It was, I think, the first time he's actually judged since he left Texas. So that was also really cool.
That is good. It's good to kind of keep yourself on top of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I need to look into studying up for the professor exam again. I think I'm due on the 14th of April to retake the professor exam.
Yeah, I'm not too far behind you either.
Yeah, that's coming up quick. I'm going to have to look into that again. So, but yeah, that's news. And I do believe now we'll be moving on to the main topic, which is going to be all about Sylveon.
I'm actually going to throw in one more quick underground announcement because I forgot to do it earlier.
Oh, okay.
I threw it up on the Facebook page, but then I remember that we have a lot of listeners that aren't on the Facebook page.
Yes.
I have Flawless IV Korean Ditto that I am offering to anybody who wants it just because I want our breeding community to be as strong as humanly possible.
Absolutely.
So if anybody is interested in one of these Ditto, get a hold of me however you want to, Facebook, Twitter, email, you know, at the underground mailbag, I will find a way to get you one of these Ditto. So that's the end. All right, and now it's time for the main topic where we are covering the Pokemon Sylveon in our double teams. And I'm going to take point here. I built my team. I've got a few videos that I'm going to throw up on the Facebook page so people can watch them if they want. They were a little bit sad as far as I'm concerned, but I'll still put them up there. But my team obviously had Sylveon on it, so I'll start with her. Well, I would make it a female just because Sylveon shouldn't be a boy. But my Sylveon is, let's see, running a calm nature. Or no, that's right. I did a Trick Room team. So it's a sassy nature.
Okay.
I gave it the leftovers and the ability pixelate because that just makes sense. For EVs, because I needed some more physical bulk on it, I gave it 252 in HP and defense, with the remaining 4 just in special defense. This Sylveon is more team support than anything else. It runs Dazzling Gleam, Helping Hand, Light Screen, and Skill Swap. And the reason I put Skill Swap on it is for its teammate, who I don't think I ever got to use it with, which makes me a little bit sad because they would have been wonderful together. But I put her with a Granbull. And the Granbull, if you don't know much about Granbull, he's now a fairy type as well, but he has Intimidate. And Sylveon skill swapping and taking Intimidate reactivates it. Oh. And gives Granbull Pixelate. And I put Return on Granbull. So a Pixelate boosted Return would hit like a ton of trucks. But that's kind of the strategy with those two. My Granbull, like I said, he's got Intimidate. He's running a Citrus Berry, which the times that I actually brought him into battle, the Citrus Berry was a lifesaver on him. Okay. So I was very happy that I did that. I gave him 252 EVs into his HP and 252 into his attack just to make him hit a little bit harder, which I forgot that he had a decent attacking stat too.
Oh yeah.
Like, I was quite surprised when I was looking at Pokemon for this team. And then I just put the last 4 in special defense just because I gave him a brave nature so that his attack would be boosted even further and his speed would be lowered. And then aside from the return on him, I gave him play rough just in case I didn't get the boost from Sylveon. I gave him Fire Fang because that was incredible in a lot of different fights, being able to hit Aegislash and Ferrothorn and things of that sort. And then I put close combat on him and never used it. So after the battles, I would probably swap that for protect.
Yeah.
Just because I think I would have gotten more use out of Protect. But, yeah, with those two, if you didn't, I think I may have said it, but if you didn't catch from their natures, they're supposed to be under Trick Room effect. So I've got a couple Trick Roomers on this team. First one is Chandelure. Chandelure is running a quiet nature, so boosting the special attack and lowering the speed. I put Flash Fire on it, but I don't think I wanted to have Flash Fire on it. I would normally have I did that for a reason. When I built the team originally, there was Ferrothorn on it. So yes, I'm changing Flash Fire to Infiltrator.
There you go. Because
it just should happen. I also gave him a Focus Sash, because sadly, Fire types have all of the weaknesses in the world to very common attacks.
Yeah.
It makes me sad because there are a lot of fire types that I love.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's running the Focus Sash because he is one of my two Trick Roomers, and I really want to get that Trick Room off. His EV spread, I gave him 252 into HP. I'm just maxing out everybody's overall bulk, if you haven't noticed. 4 into his physical defense because of the rock slides and the earthquakes that will be coming his way. And then maxed out his special attack with the last 252. And I gave him Heat Wave because this is a doubles team and Heat Wave is brilliant in doubles, especially off of a base 145 special attack.
Yep.
And then I gave him Shadow Ball because he's a ghost and Shadow Ball, again, will hit like all of the Doom ever. Mm-hmm. I gave him Energy Ball to cover those water types. Once I have Trick Room up, he's going to be faster than, you know, quite a few things. And then his last attack is Trick Room. So that Focus Sash will hopefully let me get that up. Then I threw in Mega Banette as one of my Pokemon because I wanted a couple Megas on the team, and Banette with Prankster can be destructive. And he also gets Trick Room, so I figured I'd give that a shot, since he's not super fast in his Mega form or his standard form. I gave him the ability Frisk as a standard Banette because it is nice to know what your opponent might be trying to do with their items.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's holding the Banettite because can't Mega without it. And I gave him an Adamant Nature because he does have one attack on him. And with a base 170 attack, you really kind of have to have an attack on him.
Yep.
So I maxed out his HP with 252, his attack with 252, and then just put the 4 in the special defense because that stat is 2 points lower than its physical defense. He's running the moves Phantom Force, Disable, which is amazing on a Prankster Pokemon. I love it, but that's neither here nor there. And then Will-O-Wisp to nerf the physical attackers. And the last move was Trick Room on him, because having one Trick Room user is dangerous business on an all Trick Room team.
Indeed.
My fifth Pokemon is Conkeldurr, because all of the awesome. Conkeldurr is running the ability Guts with the item Life Orb. And I've looked into this Conkeldurr quite a bit. Like, I really want to run him in the game because Iron Fist is a great ability. But 90% of the time, if somebody sees a Conkeldurr using a Life Orb, they think that he's Iron Fist. And then they will burn you to nerf you.
Yep.
So if I have a Life Orb on him and somebody's like, oh, well, he's definitely Iron Fist, and then they burn me, I'm just that much stronger. So I was hoping that he would work well, but because of Sylveon on the team, I actually didn't get to use him very much.
Yep.
But he's running a Brave Nature. He's got 252 into HP and attack, 4 into special defense. I ran him with Drain Punch, Mach Punch, Rock Slide, and Protect, so a very, very standard set in this gen. Yeah, that's it for him. He sadly didn't see much play. And then my last Pokemon, I wanted to have another Mega on there. So I actually have this Pokemon in my game. I haven't been able to use it much, but I threw an Ampharos because I love Ampharos.
Ampharos is cool.
I really, really love Ampharos. It's just a cool design. It's been a cool Pokemon for a long time, but it never did what I thought it should have with that, you know, middling speed. But now that it has a Mega and gets extra bulk and attacking power and stuff, it's just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm running the Ampharos just with Static because he's, well, not going to get any use out of Plus, and he's not going to be an Ampharos for long. He's holding the Ampharos Ite so that he can Mega Evolve. He's got 252 into his HP, 252 into his special attack, and then 4 into his physical defense. He's got a Quiet Nature, again, raising that special attack and lowering that speed. And I'm running him with T-Bolt, Dragon Pulse, Thunder Wave, which I realized on a Trick Room team is a bad choice. So I need to look into a different option for that slot. And then Protect on him too, because he's scared of those dragons that are faster than him before Trick Room comes out.
Yep.
But yeah, that was my team. Like I said, I'll throw up some videos, but I used it probably 3 or 4 times last night while we were playing, and I think I won maybe one of those fights. Like, It did not go well. But then the ones that I have recorded, or not recorded, the ones that I have links to and we'll be putting on the page, I went 2-2 with those. So it was an okay team. Sam and I have talked about this, and I don't know if he feels the same way, but Sylveon was definitely my weakest link on the team. So I know that we had to use Sylveon, but it was hard for me to click on her when I was choosing my team. And yeah, that's my Sylveon doubles team. And it wasn't my favorite team. I don't know if you have seen or heard anything that you would do differently, Sam.
I don't know, other than the suggestions that you made there. I mean, for moves that really were never used, or for Pokemon that you'd probably switch out, one of them probably being Sylveon. I can't think of too much else that I would change there.
All right. Well then, Sam, what did you do with your Sylveon team?
Well, for mine, I chose, I guess we'll start out with Sylveon again, because it was the Pokemon that we built the team around. I went with one that had the impish nature, and it had the leftovers, the ability Pixelate. I went with one with max HP and defense, and with 4 points in attack, and I ran Return, Wish, Baton Pass, and Protect. And the idea for this one was, if one of my Mega Pokemon were to be severely injured, then I could Wish and Baton Pass it away to somebody else while still maintaining probably a good chance of surviving any hits that he would have while he was out there. And then Return if I ever wanted just a stab, really powerful attack. If the Sylveon were ever to be hit with taunt or anything like that, where I'd have to attack with it. And it was most definitely the weakest link on this team, too. Mostly because the other Pokemon, the pace of battle was a little too quick. Sylveon just, you know, I'm sure this would work out beautifully in singles, but in a doubles battle, it wasn't effective at all. And the other Pokemon moved much quicker around the Sylveon, so Sylveon didn't even really see much use whenever I did use it. So
that makes me sad.
Yeah. I also chose for, I guess, the Mega Pokemon, one of them was Aggron. It was holding the Aggronite, had the ability Sturdy, had 248 in HP, 8 in attack, and 252 in special defense, just to max out his special defense and HP survivability while he was Mega Evolved. He was a sassy one, and had Stone Edge, Iron Head, Earthquake, and Protect. I'm sure there are better moves that I could definitely have chosen. Rock Slide would be one that I would probably swap out for Stone Edge, if I was so inclined. Iron Head I chose mainly for Stab. Earthquake, just because it's Earthquake. Might go with something else on there, though. Haven't decided yet. I kind of like the idea of Aqua Tail, but I'm not sure if that's 100% a legal move or not. I thought I remembered seeing it, but maybe that was one of the transfer moves. So we'll look into that one. I also ran a Manectric for my other Mega Pokemon, and it was holding the Manectite, had the ability Lightning Rod, max special attack and speed with 4 points in special defense, and was timid, and had Flamethrower, Thunderbolt, Snarl, and Protect. Again, I could probably change around a couple of these moves to make them more doubles friendly, but Manectric did the most work on the team, short of maybe Azumarill and Gudra, who are two others on here, but Manectric being able to intimidate and snarl really weakened the opposing team. It was tough to get around that.
Yeah, I fought it last night, and I love that Manectric.
It is a very powerful Manectric. And even the snarl coming off of it was powerful.
You and your stupid critical hits.
I did get critical hits. That critical hit, the Binette did not appreciate.
No.
So, yeah, Mega Manectric, he was one that I also routinely used. I also had an Aegislash, which was holding a Kasib berry. I don't know if that's the proper pronunciation for that, but that's what I'm going to call it.
I like it.
And that was mostly there just to absorb any ghost-type attacks that were coming its way. I figured ghost-type attacks would be a danger that I probably had to watch out for. Turns out I was wrong. Dark-type attacks and fairy-type special attacks were things that I really needed to watch out more with Aegislash on. So I'll be changing that held item most likely. Ability stance change, that's just what it has. I maxed out its HP, attack, and put 4 points in special defense. And it was adamant, and I finally changed the move that it had on it from last night. And it now runs King's Shield, Sacred Sword, why can't I think of the ghost type priority attack? Shadow Sneak. And Iron Head. And originally it had Destiny Bond on it, but that was mostly because I had misclicked on something. So that didn't work out as well as it did, but I really liked the priority stab ghost type attack. That was really good.
Yeah.
So then Iron Head, I think I saw one use of it on a fairy-type Pokemon, and never used Sacred Sword, but I like the idea of Sacred Sword because it is a fighting-type attack that I don't have a lot of coverage for on this team here. And King's Shield, I was also kind of on the fence about. I mean, it's the potential to lower an opponent's attack is pretty nice, but people will see it coming, and they'll just use Will-O-Wisp or something of that nature. So yeah. I think I'm just better off running Protect. And I already made mention of the last two here, so I'll just go over them now. Azumarill was one of the other three that really did the most work on this team. It was a life-orbed, huge-power Azumarill, adamant nature, 252 HP, 252 attack, and 4 special defense. It had Aqua Jet, Play Rough, Waterfall, and Protect, which is a build that I'm not going to lie, I stole it right from you, Josh.
Well, it makes me sad that you stole that from me, but you didn't name him Steve.
I didn't.
That makes me sad.
I know. But, yeah, using that build, he soaked a lot of damage, and he dealt a lot of damage, and he survived hits that I didn't think he would survive, and he was also a nice Pokemon to have in a Trick Room situation, because a lot of these other Pokemon are very, very fast, and I appreciated being able to kind of play the middle row there so that if someone did decide to use Trick Room, then I at least had something that was sort of in the same speed tier that the others would be. So Azumarill worked out really well. Didn't see much use of Play Rough, but Aqua Jet and Waterfall tore people apart. So. And then we had Gudra, who was the last one I had. He had the Gooey ability, which also I didn't see a whole lot of use of, though you stole that ability from me.
And skill squapped it away from you.
I did not appreciate that, but he also had the Assault Vest on. which just made this Gudra so unbelievably bulky. It was ridiculous. But he had the assault vest, and he had 252 in HP, 252 in defense, and 4 in special attack, and I gave him a modest nature. He had Fire Blast, Sludge Wave, Thunderbolt, and Infestation.
Stupid
And
infestation.
Infestation. And I made use out of that quite a lot. I just was like, huh, well, Infestation, and now, that Pokemon can't retreat. And you don't appreciate how awesome it is to have those Pokemon retreat until it actually happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, had that happen, and Sludge Wave also. I don't know if I would choose to go with Sludge Bomb over Sludge Wave because I do have two Metal type Pokemon on this team that are immune to it anyway. And it was only in the second battle that I had that I really understood that and started to apply that to the battle as well. Aegislash soaked the poison type attack really, really well. And Thunderbolt and Fire Blast, I might switch up those moves on him a little. I'm not sure what I'd switch it up with. Thunderbolt, though, I really liked. So that is my double team here. And I don't know, it worked out fairly well for me. I had a couple of battles and I probably won 60% of them, maybe. So, but I think also it was mostly that I was getting really, really lucky because that Sylveon was just awful.
Yeah.
So.
They gave her a good stat distribution, but just not enough to work with.
Not enough to work with, no. So.
Yeah. So with your team though, the only thing I'd change is Sylveon.
Yeah.
I love the rest of the team. I mean, you know that I love the Manectric. Because that's the exact same Manectric that I ran at that Nugget Bridge tournament.
Yep.
I love the Azumarill because it's Steve, and
It is
I
Steve.
love Steve. The Goodra, I love Infestation. We talked about this, what, one or two episodes ago.
Yep.
It's just the weirdest, coolest addition to a Goodra. So yeah, I love the team overall. It's just that Sylveon, they just, I don't know. Maybe we're just not using it right. If anybody has a Sylveon spread that works, tell
Yeah.
me because I can't find it.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about Sylveon a little more later on here, but yeah, the Sylveon definitely was the weakest link in the team. I think it would be a whole lot better if it was on a singles team. And
Yeah.
maybe that's what I should have built instead was a singles team, because I'm not gonna lie, being able to Wish Pass off to Mega Aggron after it's taken a significant number of damage would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I like that combination. I just don't like the Sylveon that I had in doubles. It's
Well, we should have fought in singles.
we should have fought in singles. I need to just build more teams. I just need to sit down one day and just be like, all right, I have teams and I'm gonna build them. And then I'll have just a host of teams built up so that everybody. And I think that was probably the worst part about the whole night last night, even though it really wasn't the worst, because it was a fantastic night, was that we were all trying to get on the same page to use the same teams against each other.
Yep.
So, but no, that's double team. And if you guys have any comments or suggestions or, information on how to make a usable Sylveon, you should totally let us know. And you can send that information to us in all of the usual ways, either through Facebook, Twitter, the email account, or over the D20 Radio forums, and we would love to hear your responses.
You have new mail.
And it is time once again for us to check on Delibird's mailbag. It's been quite a while since we've gotten some stuff from him, but we were happy to find that we got a very lengthy letter from one of our listeners who was appreciating one of the topics that we had in one of our episodes past. And the listener who wrote into us was John, and he writes, "Hello, Nateel and Sam. I recently started listening to your podcast to help pass the time during my 10 shifts of manual labor in the factory I work at. Happy to say, the podcast is great, and I'm already on episode 50 or so. Anyway, I remember listening to an episode where you two tried to make sense of some of the more unusual type matchups, such as Bug versus Psychic, or Fighting versus Dark. The topic was interesting and the answers were comical. However, I wanted to give my thought on the subject with a more logical point of view. First, we should establish what Pokemon type is. In my opinion, the world of Pokemon, a type is a categorical view given to Pokemon by humans, much in the way that we categorize animals, fish, reptile, mammal, etc. Based on the Pokemon's abilities, skin type, and other characteristics, humans give up to two types to categorize the Pokemon in an organized and understandable way. Second, a method for how a Pokemon battle works should be established. In the game, the Pokemon take turns dealing out their attacks, but one round of attacks doesn't necessarily mean each Pokemon exchange a single blow from a stationary position. I draw a parallel to the commonly known tabletop RPG Dungeons & Dragons, in which each round of battle only takes about 6 seconds, passes in-game, regardless of time taken to decide on an action, and it is assumed that the combatants are dodging, parrying, and blocking, and otherwise moving about, despite the only explained actions being move and attack, or so on. In short, the Pokemon battling are doing more than just the issued attack, and what this is correlates to the kind and type of Pokemon in battle. Third, we can use the knowledge above to understand what a type may mean in battle. Pokemon use type attacks to deal damage, such as fire, an elemental-based attack. We understand fire is an element, it brings heat, burning, etc., which is why a grass-type Pokemon would take extra damage from said attack, as a grass-type's body would be assumed to be flammable. But what about fighting? What is fighting? It's not life, fire, we can't shoot fighting from our hands, or something of that nature. Why would a rock-type take more damage from a fighting-based punch rather than a normal-based punch? They're both punches, right? Well, I presume non-elemental-based types, such as fighting, normal, bug, dark, etc., to be techniques rather than elemental. For instance, a Pokemon using the move Brick Break will deal super effective damage against rock because the Pokemon uses a fighting technique to deal damage rather than, say, Mega Punch, which is just a normal case of brute force in which the Pokemon does not instill the needed technique to crush rocks. Much like how much of martial arts is not just strength, but rather a form.
Finally, to answer the questions at hand, why is fighting good against dark? And why is bug good against psychic? First, the given answer for fighting versus dark was that dark Pokemon are ninjas and don't stand up to a warrior in a head-on-head battle. But since I assume Pokemon to always be moving and using their own techniques, it doesn't necessarily have to be a head-on-head battle. My answer is that fighting-type attacks are done in a trained form and use a refined technique, while dark-type Pokemon defend and attack in an untrained manner, using deception, dirty tricks, and thuggery. You do not talk about my Umbreon like that. I kid. This is seen through the dark-type attacks such as Sucker Punch, Bite, considered to be a dirty thing to do in a fight, and Thief. A refined fighter will know how to deal with opponents who use dirty tactics in a fight, because a trained fighting style can outmatch a mundane style, such as dark or normal. Also, a psychic will be hit super effectively by a bug attack, because the bug-type techniques use ordinary and unpredictable methods to those of the more trained or even mundane techniques, which also explains why fighting can't hit bug types well. because trained mind of a fighter doesn't comprehend the unorthodox mind of a bug. Also, the bug's look can instill fear, as fear will conflict with the concentration of a psychic type. So you two are not actually too far off. This method of thinking, I believe, can also be used to discover the reasons behind the rest of the type matchups. And if it's wanted, I would be happy to complete a list. Sorry for the long email, as the subject, when perceived with a scientific outlook, can be rather complicated. However, I really hope this is an interesting read, and that you two read it on the show. We did. I would love to hear it when I finally catch up on the episodes. You two are doing a fantastic job, and I hope you continue to do what you two love. Sincerely, John. And P.S., I really dig the underground.
That was a pretty awesome letter.
That was a huge letter.
It was a huge letter. But thanks a lot for writing in to us. We really appreciate the listener responses. And if you guys had any other materials that you would like to submit to us, just another reminder, 2-year anniversary episode is coming up. You can send it to us through our email account, which is the best way to get long messages of that nature. Or you could also submit the information to us through our Facebook group or over the D20 Radio Network forums. Twitter, probably not the best medium to be using for transmitting things of this nature. But still, we'd really appreciate your responses. Thanks a lot.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
And this week's Pokemon Spotlight is number 700, Sylveon.
Sylveon is the most recent evolution, and it was the first of the fairy types revealed in this series.
To obtain Sylveon, you have to have an Eevee with a fairy type attack, and has to have at least 2 stars on Pokemon Ami.
And that is the thing that makes me sad. I just found that out this morning, and I had maxed mine out.
Oh.
And it was the first Pokemon Ami that I had done, and it took a long time.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that you only need the 2 stars in the Pokemon Ami.
It's
That'll
true.
Make it a lot easier for people who just want to get one quick. Sylveon is also tied as the tallest of the evolutions, but is one of the lightest in the group.
Which one is also the tallest?
It's tied with a couple different ones. Vaporeon, Umbreon, and I want to say Leafeon were the other ones that were 3.3 feet or 1 meter for those that use, you know, proper measurements.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't use meters.
I don't know either.
It doesn't make sense. But yeah, they're all 1 meter tall.
Okay.
And then the rest were like 2.9 to 2.8.
I'm trying to picture a Sylveon that's roughly that tall, and that's a really big Pokemon.
It really is. For like when they come out into battle in game, they don't look that large.
No, they don't.
But yeah, they're half my height.
And they certainly don't look as tall. They don't look like Vaporeons. I always thought Vaporeons would be shorter, but apparently they're taller. I don't know. But Sylveon is mainly cream in color with pink highlights on its feet, ears, and tail, though those highlights also change into a really awesome blue color if it's a shiny Pokemon. So if you're listening to episode 69, you know all of the ways to get a shiny evolution. So, haha.
There you go. And I forgot to put this on there. Sylveon's eyes, when it's the standard color, are blue. And when it's the shiny, I believe turn pink. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm pretty sure.
Its eyes most certainly do turn pink.
Okay. So yes, the eyes are the opposite of the
yes.
other color. Sylveon's ribbons aren't actually ribbons at all. And this is just, you know, my personal thoughts, but they are creepy, disgusting, fleshy feelers that it uses to send calm, happy feelings to its opponents. And I'm sorry, but if those tendril, arm, fleshy ribbons were coming at me, I would not feel calm. I would be quite creeped out. But I guess it works on Pokemon.
Okay.
And yeah, Sylveon actually uses these tendrils to hold hands with its trainer, which is another thing that I just don't think I'd be comfortable with.
Yeah. Maybe they're like... maybe they're like fuzzy or something, so it's not just like... I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, but still, the fact that it can control them and move them about as if they were limbs or things just...
I suppose.
It just weirds me out. I don't know why.
Yeah. At least it's not as weird as Mr. Mime.
This is true.
There are a few things that are weirder than Mr. Mime. So.
Good point.
Sylveon are very beautiful and can incapacitate attackers of another gender, and they also use very superpowered normal attacks that can be made even more powerful and match Sylveon's type. And these abilities that Sylveon has equate to Cute Charm and Pixelate, its hidden ability.
Which, Pixelate is definitely the better of the two.
Definitely the better. Definitely. Sylveon has a really nicely distributed stat pool here. If all things considered for evolutions, base 95 HP, 110 in his special attack, 130 in his special defense. Attack and defense, kind of on the low side, but that's never stopped people from using Pokemon before. And speed, 60 again, but, you know, for his move pool that he has, he doesn't necessarily need to be fast.
No, not really. I mean, he's more of a support Pokemon from the move pool.
Yep.
And support Pokemon have never needed to be that fast.
No, they haven't. And he doesn't have a lot of things that would wreck that for him either. I mean, there are some support Pokemon that are, you know, you just use them and you go in knowing that you are going to take a significant amount of abuse, and you just have to accept that. But with Sylveon, you could use Baby Doll Eyes to weaken an opponent, and it would be a priority attack. You don't even have to worry mm-hmm. about going last in that one.
Yep.
You also have Yawn, which can put the opponent to sleep the next turn. So, you know, going last is almost a benefit for that, as opposed to a hindrance. You could use Curse, so if you wanted to, you could still boost up his attack and defense, most notably his defense. I mean, his attack is pretty weak, but you could just Curse, and then you've also got access to Baton Pass. I mean, you can Baton Pass off Calm Minds and Curses and Wishes. I mean, you've got a lot of options with a Sylveon.
Yeah, and you didn't mention Helping Hand yet, right?
I did not mention Helping Hand, no.
There's another priority attack where, I mean, Sylveon could be down to 3 health and you could still get that off and do a ton of damage with your teammate.
Oh yeah, just Helping Hand pass. That's what I should have done. Helping Hand to pass off to Mega Manectric, and then Mega Manectric use Snarl and mm-hmm. just smack people around.
Yeah, that critical hit would have killed the Banette.
Yes,
it
would
have.
So, you've got that option for you there. He also gets Light Screen, I think. Reflect, yep, he also gets Reflect, so he can toss up some screens there. Attacks, though, he doesn't get many.
Yeah.
Well, he gets some, but they're pretty much all the same type. Pretty much.
That's sad.
It is sad. I mean, I've seen attacks used on him, like Moonblast, Draining Kiss, you know, there's Return. I mean, you've got access to a lot of really cool ones. You could even Pixelate a Last Resort and mm-hmm. use a tremendous amount of do a tremendous amount of damage that way. I mean, stick that on a support one and last resort base 140 stab fairy type attack. That would hurt a whole heck of a lot.
Yes.
So, you know, you've got that going for you, but really, Sylveon is a very, 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 very support-heavy Pokemon. You should only really be attacking with it if you feel very confident about your chances with him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's kind of sad, but at some levels it's not. So, I don't know. And there was also a trading card game card that was made of Sylveon. I think it only had one attack, though.
Yeah, it was the promo the one promo is what you one. Were telling
yep.
me, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so, I don't know if I've ever even seen it, so I would assume it's not very good.
I saw it, I believe it was one fairy and two colorless for 70 damage. So.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, I guess, not terrible, but at the same time, there are no Pokemon that are weak to fairy-type attacks. So, or at least none that I know of in the card game.
None yet. I'm sure when the dragons come back out, they'll be weak to dragon or fairy.
Yeah, but, you know, in that situation, you know, even that much energy for 140 damage, you're better off just using a Xerneas and just rainbow burning or rainbow blast or whatever that attack is, just 200 damage for yeah. weakness.
Yeah.
So it's a thing. And, you know, that's Sylveon, and very beautiful Pokemon, very excellent support Pokemon. I'd be worried about using it to attack, though.
I'm going to agree with Sam on that one. All right, and now it's time for a lot of people's favorite, the question of the week. We're not going to go into last week's question yet. We'll kind of have a mega question reply next week. But for this week, we're just going to ask the question, what kind of Pokemon would you like to see distributed to you, the listeners, for our 2-year anniversary? So, Sam, which one do you think we should give to the listeners?
I think Rotom would be a really cool Pokemon to breed up and distribute.
I agree. Rotom is a cool Pokemon, and when it comes to breeding, is not always the easiest to work with because
it's
of that
true.
Genderless.
It's
all
true.
Right. Well, I like Rotom.
How about you?
I personally, I'm thinking Love Ball Centret for everyone.
Love Ball Centret.
Yeah, Love Ball Centret. Who doesn't want a Love Ball Centret?
I want a Love Ball Centret.
Well, there you go. And you're everybody that I'm talking to right now. So as far as I'm concerned, 100% of all people want a Love Ball Centret.
So yes, if you... And I'll be posting this up on the Facebook group before the episode actually goes live. So you guys will see it on the Facebook group first and foremost, before even I take off for League here. So if you guys have any ideas that you want to choose for the Pokemon that we'll distribute to you guys for our 2nd year anniversary, just post it up on the Facebook group, you know, let us know what you want to see, and we'll create a bunch of those and we'll distribute them out, and it's going to be a fantastic time. We want to do this for you guys.
Yes, because you guys are awesome.
You guys are awesome.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast, you can find back episodes of The Underground on iTunes or at our website, theundergroundpodcast.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to the show via the iTunes store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or rating on iTunes. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send them with the nearest deli bird to our mailbag. Or you can just email us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. You can also follow our new Twitter account, @RadioRotome. We'd also love to hear your bumpers. Just record an MP3 of yourself telling us that you dig the underground and send it in. We'll play it at the top of the next episode. Please join our discussions over the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums. And on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast.
Please join us again next week when we'll be celebrating our second anniversary of the podcast. So until next time, Polka fans, remember that our secret base is always open to you if you can find it.
The Underground Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 unported license and is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Pokemon is a registered trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, 4Kids Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast. Music used in the show comes courtesy of the OC Remix album, The Missing Note Tracks. These songs and thousands more can be found at www.ocremix.org. All original audio, textual, graphical, and video content associated with the Underground Podcast are the sole copyright intellectual property of Nateel Erickson and Samuel Ranke in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network.
And now for your Pokemon Pro Tip of the Week. If you pick a peck of pickled peppers, beware the Abomasnow that will come. Just a little crazy right now.
Hey, that's okay. Last night you were a little crazy too.
I was a little crazy last night. I was.
And I'm going to be honest with you, it was incredibly entertaining.
Good.
Because it was just all of the randomness. We're talking about something and you throw in something that has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, what?
Yep.
But it was awesome.